Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. It's remarkable where all of God lives. If you're going to wait for God to come and visit you, you'll get visitation, but you'll be miserable a lot. But if you go to Him where He is, you'll be fulfilled. You will be filled in every capacity imaginable. Spirit, soul, body, mind, heart, getting foretastes and glimpses of that. John 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That where I am, there shall also my servant be. Most of the time we look at that type of leadership is you and I, we see that kind of leadership is okay. I follow you, Lord. What city do I live in? What church do I go to? What job? Who's my husband? Who's my wife? That kind of thing. What you want me to go, what nation to preach in. And that's the way we look at following Him. And you do follow Him there. You do. But He's actually speaking of a much deeper level of following Him, because it's not the first time He's going to say this. He's going to say this three times. Actually, He says it like five or six times in the book of John. He tells the Jews in chapter 7 and 8, the ones that wanted to kill Him, that you cannot follow Me. You're not going to follow Me, not if you're going to try to kill Me. You can't go where I'm going. You can't be with Me where I am. But to you and I, this is our promise. It gradually builds. I actually taught a lot of this by revelation 3 years ago, but I'm now experiencing it. The revelation gifts kind of like that. You'll see things by revelation, and you'll go into areas that you're not really ready for, but the revelational gift will go ahead and map them out and show it all to you. You understand it that way, but to experience it is a different story. To enter into it, into your walk, it becomes a corporate part of your walk, a daily part of your walk with God. We need a God that we can experience. Now, every one of us experienced God, but we need a God that we can find. And you've got to be able to find Him every day. If you don't, you're not going to be in good shape. The enemy is going to get stronger and stronger in the nations. He's going to get stronger and stronger in this nation, but he's not going to get stronger and stronger in that place. That place is going to be more glorious and more glorious and more glorious. And when you get into that place, it becomes more glorious. We'll be going from glory to glory as the world goes from one level of destruction to another. The church will go from glory to glory, but you got to be there. You got to find that place in that room where all that dwells. And this is where he was actually leading you. This is what he's talking about. And I'll prove this as we go through the book of John. He says, you follow me. Let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be also. So the key is we needed to be where he is. Amen. He mentioned it in 7 and 8, but he was telling him, you can't go where I'm at. But he's telling you, you can go. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go to John chapter 14. Your faith, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. And then he'll reward those who diligently seek him. You're going to have to be a diligent seeker of God, because it's going to require something that's not normal to us to find him. And it's faith, and it's faith that's exercised daily. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to find this room. You won't. It's going to get glazed over. It'll get clouded over. And the enemy's a really good thief. He stands at the door and he tries to block the access of that doorway to the kingdom of God. Now, John 14 actually was coming off of John 13, but all this is happening in the upper room now. Judas had left the room, and as soon as Judas had left the room, Jesus begins to teach the 11 apostles at this point. He's getting them ready to encounter the Father. He's getting ready to understand how to encounter the Father, and he's going to prepare the way for this. And he's talking to 11 people, and John, when he laid his head upon the breast of the Lord, caught this revelation. No other writer wrote about this. No other writer wrote what's in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Only John caught it. And I thank God he did. Amen. Cause it's rich. It's very rich. And so in John 13, he tells them, go to John 13, verse 33. God went reconciling the world through Christ to himself. The whole purpose was to introduce you to the Father in Christ. Everything you'll ever experience in the Father will be done through the Son. Every time He loves you, He'll love you through the Son. Every time you worship Him, every time you approach Him, every time you encounter the Father, you'll be doing it through the Son. There's no other way. And it'll be that way for all eternity. Every time the Father loves you, that love flows through the Son. Even though you feel it directly from the Father, trust me, you're in the Son. You cannot be in the Father's presence without being in the Son. You can't do that. He's the only one that can bring you into the Father. And so verse 3 says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, this was chapter 7 and 8, whither I go, you cannot come. And they couldn't come because they wouldn't follow him. They couldn't come because they were fighting with him and arguing with him and wanting to kill him. Several times they wanted to kill him. And he told them, finally, you can't come. You don't even know my mission. You don't even know why I'm here. He goes, you can't go where I'm going. They didn't even know what he was talking about there in chapter 7 and 8. He goes, whether I go there, what's he talking about? Whether he goes, we cannot come. Where's he going to go that we can't go? You know, they argue because they're thinking like men, because they didn't understand his mission. And he goes, as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you a new commandment, love one another. In verse 36, I like Peter. I like him. Probably because I made as many mistakes as he has and more. I can identify, but I'd rather be John. As I grow up, I'd rather have John more than Peter. John was more and more developed in the love of God. But, you know, Peter knew how to step out of the boat. He'd get in more trouble. But John was deeper. He was deep, 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 deep man. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Where are you going? See, this is the question, because he said, where I am in chapter 12. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And he keeps telling him, I'm going. And he goes, well, where are you going? And so he's going to answer that throughout these next four or five chapters. And Peter said, whither I go, you cannot follow me right now. He goes, you can't follow me now, Peter. But you'll follow me afterwards. Of course, Peter is going to commence to arguing with the Lord. And said, oh, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I want to follow you. You know that I'll lay down my life for you. You know, you got to watch people that come up in your presence, tell you they're going to be with you forever, lay their life down. They're generally ones to go first. Hallelujah. He goes, I'll lay my life down for you. He goes, verily, verily, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Three times, Peter, you cannot follow me the first go round. Because what he was about to do, no man could do. He was about to take the sin of the world. He was going back to his Father. He said it. He's going to say it five or six times in the next four or five chapters. In John chapter 1, he says he come out of the bosom of the Father. He came to introduce the Father to the world, and now he's returning to the Father. He's going to tell his 11 apostles, he's going to tell them over and over again, I go. You can run your concordance and or write it down, underline how many times he says, I go, I go, I go, I go. He's returning to the Father, but before he returns to the Father, he's going by way of the cross. And this is why he's telling Peter, you can't go with me right now. You're not going the first trip, Peter. Peter goes, I'll lay my life down. He goes, no, you won't. And so he doesn't get to go the first round, and Peter's probably thankful he didn't go the first round, because only the Lamb of God himself could take the sin of the world. He had to go and partake and take the sin of the world upon himself. He went into the belly of hell for 3 days, and then the Father raised him from the dead, and he returned unto his Father. At that time, he came and get you at that point. Now it's time to come and get you for his mission. Now watch this. And he gets into this chapter 14. And 14, 15, 16, 17 is just full of all kinds of stuff. If you understand what he's saying, it's going to be even greater when revelation comes to experience. Hallelujah. Verse 1, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's comforting Peter. He goes, believe also in me. You believe in the Father. He goes, believe also in me. They were Jews. They believed in the Father. He's telling them, look, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to bring you to a heavenly tabernacle. I'm going to introduce you to the Father that you serve with the blood of bulls and goats and sacrifice to. I'm going to be that sacrifice, and I'm going to bring you face to face with him. And he goes, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. Now, there are mansions. There's no doubt about it. But that's really not what he's talking about here. My Father's kingdom, he's actually talking in my Father. There's many dwelling places, many. If it were not so, I'd have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. See, he's still going. He goes, I'm going to go to him and I'm going to prepare. Now, this is very important because this place right here, it's a real place. It's a spiritual place, but it's a real place, and it's your place. It's your individual place, and it's a place that a lot of things happen. It's a place you pray at. It's a place you enter. It's a place of exchange. It's a place of encounter. It's a place where you get filled. It's a place you behold the Lord, the place you behold the Father. It's a place you're going to have to get familiar with, or you're going to miss most of what he did for you. You're going to be very sad when you get to heaven, if you can be sad, that you missed that room, because all your inheritance is in that place. It's a dwelling room that he prepared for you. It is not one you're going to when you get there. It's one you're going to have now. And I'll prove that to you as we go along. It's the one that's available. This place is actually a place that Christ prepares. It's a heavenly tabernacle. It's the place of in Christ. When you see the word found in him or abide in him or accepted in him, the word in him, that's in him is the place. It's in him. He's not here. He's at the right hand of the Father. He prepared that place for you at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Now, he says he prepares a place for you. It's your place. And it's a glorious place. It doesn't mean anything you hear because you can't feel it when you're in this jurisdiction. You don't even know what it's like until you get in there. You know how glorious it is until you get in there. And there are thieves that'll stand at the door a whole lifetime try to keep you from going in there. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, now watch this, I'm going to come again. Now this time, Peter, you get to go with me. This time you get to make the journey with me, Peter. This time you get to go. Not the first time, but when I come back, after I prepared a place, after I've gone into the belly of hell, after I've been resurrected, after I've gone into the Father and received the inheritance for the church, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. And I'm going to bring you back. And how he did that is when you were born again, you were buried with him in baptism. The old man and the new man was raised with him into glory. There is a place in you that's already seated with him. Amen. You have to learn how to identify with that, or you'll never experience. He goes, if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. See, I'm going to bring you back to where I am. See, that where I am, here's the second time he says it, that where I am. Where I am, say where I am, there you may be also. That is huge. Because you want to be where he is. If you know where he is, you want to be there. Because that's his mission, to get you there. Because that's where everything he's going to do for you is coming out of that room. And it's a glorious place. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So here's going to tell him where he goes. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you're going. Of course, Thomas didn't know. He didn't know anything. He didn't believe anything either. You know, some of them keyed in and some of them were not. You can be at the same table with the Lord and be keyed in and be at the same table and be completely out to lunch. Do you know all 11 of them were keyed in? John was very keyed in. Peter was very keyed in. So you got to key into the things of God, things of the Spirit. You have to key into them. There are things that go on at this little church with a taco stand in front of it. But there's a whole lot more than meets the eye, but you got to key into what's going on, what's happening, where this thing is going, what's going on behind the scenes, because just because the skyscraper is not up off the ground doesn't mean there's a whole foundation that's been built for a very long time. And when it comes off the ground, it'll come off very fast. Hallelujah. We don't know where you're going. We don't know how we know the way. He goes, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man's going to the Father. That's where he was going. I'm going to the Father. And you're not going outside of me. He goes, I'm going to bring you to the Father. Where I am in the Father, you'll be also. Now that is huge, because he's going to introduce you to his glory, to his Father. And every one of us have had a little bit of encounters and things, but when you start encountering the Father on a daily basis, it's going to change you. It's going to change you like church can't change you. It's going to transform you, because his love is going to transform you, and it's greater than anything we ever imagined. And everyone's been touched and tasted of it, but you can touch and taste, but it's not enough to touch and taste. You have to be in it daily so it can transform you daily. It'll repair all the stuff. It'll repair 50 years of damage in you. It'll repair your soul and make you whole. It'll repair your mind and make you whole. It'll set you and a foundation, it'll satisfy you. It'll satisfy. Oh, he's so full and glorious. He said, you'll be with me. I'm coming to get you, Peter. The second time, you're going to get born again. Your old man's going to pass away. I'm going to bury him in baptism, and I'm going to raise him into glory. And that man's going to get access to where I am in the Father. And I'm going to give you that access now. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not upon the earth. For you are dead. Watch this. Colossians chapter 3:3. But your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in the Father. Hidden in Christ first, and then you're hidden in the Father. Now, it's no wonder he spent 3 years teaching us how to enter into what we call in Christ. Because now that you're in Christ, he's now introducing to the Father now. Beginning the introduction to the Father. And, you know, we knew this by revelation, but now it's become experiencing, and it's just awesome. And it's all there. And more. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Go to Ephesians chapter 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, even hath quickened us together with Christ, right? Now, he just talked about where he was. In chapter 1, he was at the right hand of the Father, raised there, far above principality, so that's where you got raised. Amen? And look at this. And hath raised us up together, right? Now notice where he says, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ. So what does that mean? If you ever make it to the heavenly places, that places was the place that he prepared for you in John. That was, I go to prepare a place for you, made us sit together in heavenly places. If you ever get in Christ, is always heavenly places. Did you get that? If you ever make it to the place of abiding in Christ, when you make it to the abiding place, when you make it to dwelling in him, being found in him, under the shadow of the Almighty, he hideth us in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. He hides us in the secret place of his tabernacle. Our life's hidden with Christ. When you make it there, every single time, that place is a heavenly place. When you're in the peace of God, you're in a heavenly place. Because he said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but in me, you'll have peace. Well, what'd he say? He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't worry about what the world throws at you. Just find the place in me. So if you come up out of the world and get into his peace, you're actually in a heavenly place. Because you cannot be in Christ and not be in a heavenly place. We were raised together in heavenly places in Christ. Every time you're in Christ, whether you know it, you're in a heavenly place. You're in a heavenly jurisdiction. If it's peace, if it's glory, if it's pure love, if you're there and not in this jurisdiction, you're in a heavenly place. You don't have to see angels to be in a heavenly place. Go to John 17. So I'm being introduced to the Father's love these last couple of weeks as we've talked about this. And I'm telling you this because I'm telling you the progression of where you'll go as you learn to make your entrance, as you learn to get your access, you learn to access Christ. If you don't get into Christ, you're not going to get into the Father. It's all there in Christ. Your inheritance is there. You know, we have to be more concerned about what's going on here. You're not going to be empowered to get anything done here if you don't get in that place. You haven't figured that out yet? There is no revival anywhere right now. In the United States, there's no first world revival that's shaking cities and nations. Out of all the people who know God, we can't have one major revival. That if my son or daughter had cancer and they were on their last deathbed, that if I don't have the faith, I could bring them and I know that they could be raised up because if the Lord's ministry was working here, he'd get healed. He would. If I had a son that had cancer, or if you had a son, he just would. They would be healed in his ministry. And he'd turn around and rebuke us is what he'd do. Because we had asked him as soon as we could bring Joshua or Stevie to him, and as soon as you watched them be made whole right in front of your eyes, after you got over yourself watching that, you'd go to him and say, I tried that. How come we couldn't do that? And he'd tell you, because of your unbelief. Because you don't know how this works. Because you don't know where this kind of faith operates. You don't know where this kind of exchange of power comes from. Because you're not with the Father. You don't really dwell with him. You just know him. But if you don't dwell in his glory every day where the exchange is made, that room, you were never even supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer till you got in that room. We've looked at that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be the... Worship was supposed to be done there. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You were supposed to be in before we ever prayed. That's Matthew 9. We got to go to Matthew 6. 6. When you pray, enter into your closet. Enter into that secret place. And thy Father, which is in that secret place, will see you there and he'll reward you openly. That was a heavenly place you were entering into. Because if the Father's there, it's a heavenly place. I guarantee it. And that's why he'd say, I tried all. Yeah, but we operate too much here. That's what our problem is. Because we really don't know how to operate there yet. We're learning. All of us, myself included. You know why? It's hard because you will have to die to the passions here. You'll have to say no every day to the passions if you're going to enter in that room. There's a part of your will you'll have to say no to. There's a part of your flesh you'll have to say no to. And your flesh, active every day, wants to do what it wants to do. Your flesh does not want to crawl up in heaven until it gets there. And then when it's up in that heavenly room, you say, ooh. Now, don't misunderstand. You're going to be at the throne with lightnings and thunders. Don't look for that. Look for the dwelling place of God. It's going to increase and grow, I assure you. It is increasing and growing. This week, I got caught up in a place. And all I know is I was worshiping the Father and this pure love just caught up in it and don't know how long I was there for a long time. He woke me up at 3:30 in the morning and I was there till 7 or 8 in the morning. But I got caught up in this room, a room, it was like a garden. It tasted to me like the Garden of Eden. How do you know it tastes like, what's the Garden of Eden taste like? I don't know. It just There was life in that place. It wasn't life like this place. I could breathe it. My spirit was there. And I breathed in and I breathed the Zoe life of God. I could breathe His life into me. I felt His life coming into me. I said, what is this? What an oxygen of the earth. This was a room with life. It wasn't overpowering life, but it was incredibly comfortable there. Just glory. You didn't want to leave ever. I can tell you that. And I said, this was what Adam walked in. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, this is a room in my Father's house. And then He spoke the scripture to me. I am the door. If any man enter in, he will be saved. Now you're saved. Then he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come what? That you might have life. And have it more abundantly. I've come to introduce you to the life of heaven again. I come to restore to you what Adam lost. I come to restore a place for you. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to give you access. I'm going to grant you entrance. I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to teach you how to get there. I'm going to lay up your inheritance there. I'm going to introduce you to the Father there. You're going to have a really good time there. And you're going to begin to understand what man was originally created for. You're going to walk in a life that's not of this world. You're going to live in a love that's not of this world. You're going to live in a glory that's not of this world. And you're going to learn to get caught up in God like Enoch did and didn't want to come back. And it was like the Garden of Eden. I didn't see anything, but I knew. I'm a feeler. Boy, if something goes wrong around here, I can feel it in a heartbeat. I knew the tree of life was in there. And the Lord said, He goes, you can come and partake of this room. I thought it was open to me. I tried to go back in. I couldn't find it. It is. He said, it's open. He was just giving me a foretaste. And He's giving you a foretaste. Because we're just exploring right now. So what else does that have to do with revival? Because it's all there. That's the place where the exchange is going to be made. What's going to happen? You're going to go in there and you're going to get clothed with something. The Father's going to put something up on you in there. You're going to bring it down here and things are going to start changing all around you. Because He's going to give you something you don't have here. You keep trying to build the kingdom here with flesh. That's why the church is the problem. It's in. That's why God shut us down, said, stop trying to build a church. Don't worry about how many people. Don't worry about how many empty seats. Don't worry about it. You know how many churches are just full of people that just want to come in and out? You know how many churches are full of people that have their lifestyle hadn't changed a bit? They just go to church. They give their tithe if they want to give their tithe. They like their children going to children's church, but their life changes hardly nothing. Or if that, they're changing in a social way. You talk about stuff like this and they're like, you're crazy. Paul, he was trying to bring the church up into these rooms. He was trying to bring them up into the heavenly place. It wasn't supposed to be all this difficult, but the thief stands at the door and part of his job is to stop your access. Get you distracted. We were supposed to be entering in all. Let me tell you something. It's not that hard once you get in rhythm. You get in sync and you learn the program. God will teach you the program. You get in rhythm. You get in sync. You'll start making your access. It'll become easier and easier and easier. What's hard for you just getting through the door will be easy. I'm telling you, it'll be easy. There's revivals there. How do you know that? Because Christ ascended in the right hand of God and received the government of God. He received gifts from men. He went into the right hand of God. And worthy is the Lamb to have received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Read Daniel 7. Daniel saw his ascension into the Ancient of Days and there was given him a dominion and a kingdom. It was given to him in the right hand of God. He said, all that the Father has is mine. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. God gave it all to him there. Well, why didn't he give them to him here? I've said this because the enemy stole it from the first Adam. That's why he has his legal lease on the earth, because he stole it from Adam. He stole the inheritance that God gave for man that was not the devil's. He stole the whole thing. And God come to restore it, and his wisdom said, I'm putting it far away from the principalities and the power of this age, and I'm going to give my people access to it, and I'm going to put it up where I live in heavenly places, far above the principalities. They can't come up and get it, but you can. That's why you must learn your access and get over the thing about all this heavenly, being super spiritual about it. It's going to be very natural after a while, but you're going to just be filled with glory. You're just going to be in glory all the time. You're going to learn to drink of the depths of God and be clothed in the glory of God. John 17. Now, we saw where he showed where I am in chapter 12, where I am in chapter 14. Now we're going to see another where I am in chapter 17. He's going to define this very clear for you. Your first pass is this, you might not fully understand what he's saying here. I'll tell you what he's not saying, I'll tell you what he is saying. Amen? John 17, verse 20, neither I pray for these alone, he's talking about the 11 apostles there, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. Say, that's me. You believed on him through their word. Somebody preached you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John somewhere, and you believed. So that's you right there. He's praying for you. It's one of the most powerful prayers he ever prayed. All right? Verse 21, that they all may be one. Stop. I need you to put something on the shelf for a minute. Put this on the shelf. He's not talking about you and I becoming one. Make us all one. Grant us unity, Lord, if we can just get together. It's no unity in the flesh. It doesn't work like that. That is not what he's talking about here. Okay? Just for a minute, set that over here on the shelf. For a minute. He's not talking about you and I becoming one. That's not what he's saying in these verses here. Okay? If that's what you're reading, you're going to miss the whole thing. All right, that they all may be one. Now he's going to explain what he means now by being one. All right? As thou, Father, here's his definition of oneness. As thou, Father, are in me, the Son, and I am in thee, they dwell. It's the same way you dwell in Christ. Christ dwelled from the Father. He came out of the Father. And he went back to the Father. He said, I go back. I'm going to him that sent me. I'm going back home. They dwell in a place of union together. And it was a spiritual union. It cannot be accomplished in the flesh. There's just no possible way. It's a union of being in. They're going to invite us into their union, which is the greatest thing God ever did. That we're going to be brought into union with the Father and the Son. He said that they also may be one where? He didn't say in one another. They'll be one in us. In us. We're going to bring you. See what he tell them? I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to bring you where I am. That where I am, there you may be also. And he's going to tell you in a minute exactly where he is, because he's going to the Father. He's going to tell you where he is and where he brought you. And he already did it if you want to know the truth. Because your spirit's been there. It has that capacity to be molded into oneness. And that's when you're going to really enjoy God. Verse 22, and the glory, now he mentions the glory, which you have given me. See that? Boy, you've got to hear this. If you think you know what he's talking about, you're going to miss it. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. So whatever glory he was talking about, here's another thing. Take the glory cloud of Moses and put that on a shelf. Okay? Just for a moment. I know the glory cloud of Moses, but this glory he's talking about is much greater than that glory cloud that descended upon Moses. This is a different kind of glory, but it encompasses a glory cloud. But it's not the glory cloud. But the glory cloud's a part of the glory. He's not saying, in the glory cloud you've given me, Father, I give them the glory cloud so it can manifest among them. No, this is far greater than that. Well, how do you know that? Laws of meditation. Don't lift the verse out of context. Don't read verse 22 without reading verse 5. Go to 5. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I came from you, Father. I dwelt in oneness with you for eternity. I know you, Father. I know how glorious you are because you've loved me from the foundation of the world. Not just loved him, he loved him. I've been in your love. I've dwelt in your love. I've dwelt in your glory. I've dwelt in your life. As the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have life in himself. I've dwelt in all of your divine nature. I've dwelt in all of your glory and life and love. I know thee, Father. I came out from thee. I was one with you forever. And I left that out of love for your creation, so they can all be brought to what we have together. And I'm going to bring them to where you are. I'm going to bring them to you, Father, because I'm going to bring them. I'm coming back to you, Father. Glorify me with that glory that I had with you from the beginning. Bring me back. But this time I'm going to bring them back with me. And where I am in you, Father, where I am, they'll be also. The way you love me, you'll love them. Where you love me, you'll love them. All the love you have to me, you'll love them with it, because I'll bring them into perfect union with you. They will be in me, and I will be in you, Father. I'm going to give them what Father and Son and Holy Ghost shared for all eternity, before creation ever landed upon this face of the earth. He was slain from the foundation of the world. He was going to give you what he had. That's a whole lot greater than just being born again, wouldn't you say? Just now beginning to go into the Father to tell you what that tastes like. To be able to come through the Son and go into the Father. That oneness opens the door to true worship. We'll worship in the truth. You'll come through the Son. He's the way, the truth. And in spirit, see, you're in spirit, you're in a spiritual union. You can go into the Father. He that dwelleth in love will dwell in God. Your faith will be able to go in there when you understand how it works. You know what he said? If you keep my words, my Father and I will come and make our abode in you. If you keep these words. Keep these words I'm telling you in the upper room. Keep these, because they're going to open the door for you to come to me. Verse 22, in the glory which you gave me, I've given them. That encompasses glory cloud. It encompasses love. It encompasses power. It encompasses wisdom. It encompasses perfect union with the Father. He's going to love you in a way that you've been wanting to get love for a very, very long time. Do you know that we can get pulled up in the lap of the Father every day? Because remember what he told you? He goes, when you're in this presence, you're in my love, you're actually in heaven. He told you that, didn't he? You can't be in the Father and not be in a heavenly place. That they may be one as we are one. That they may be one in us, the way we're one, Father, we're inviting them in. He invited all his creation. Not even the angels have that. Invited them into the oneness that Father and Son. When you're here, it don't mean a lot. When you're there, it's everything. It's glorious and awesome. I and them, he's going to explain this. Verse 22, the glory that y'all gave us me, I've given them. That they may be one, even as we're one. He's going to explain what that means. Look at verse 23. Here's what it means to have my glory. I in them and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you've sent me and you have loved them the way you've loved me. That I'm going to bring them where I am. The very same place he holds at the right hand of God. You hold that place. The very place the Father loves the Son, you are loved in that same place there, in the same way. Man, when you get there, you'll experience it. Not when you get to heaven, arrive, die, go to heaven, when your faith ventures through. It'll repair your mind. It'll repair your emotions. It'll repair 50 years of the devil's destruction. It'll repair you and make you whole. One thing he told me when I went in that room, he says, "Don't rush, my love." He goes, "I know you want my power and you need it." He goes, "But what you need more right now is love." He goes, "I'm going to bring you up to love you. And all that will come up," he says, "tell my people they need more of my love. Not love here, love there. Your love here don't cut it. You have to be loved from there. The Father's love will wash you. He'll wash your mind. It'll wash your heart. I don't care what kind of problem you go in with it. You won't leave. He'll wash it down to the ground. I don't care who's hurt you, betrayed you. How many times you've stumbled and fallen because you weren't developed properly as a child. He will redevelop you. You might be a 50-year-old child. He'll redevelop and he'll make you full age. Because only the love of the Father is going to make you full age. And the Lord's bringing us in there. That's why you want to fight the good fight of faith. That's why you want to get in there. And that's what those thieves stand at the door for, to stop you from going in there. It's not what those thieves stealing you from here. That's not what you need to be worried about being stolen from. They're trying to steal your access to that place because they know they used to live there. I in them, thou in me. That the world may know you love them, Father, as you love me. They're going to know it. You're going to know the same love. You're going to experience it daily. You need to let me make you whole in this room. That's what he told me. Because I wanted to go in there and get the power right away because I knew it was in there. I said, I am in the room where it all is. I told Pastor Chuck this. I said, I was like a rookie in the room. Holy Ghost says, don't. It's like I walked in there as a rookie. It's like you're standing in a place that's far above your pay grade right now. You got in there by faith. Just wait. Chuck goes, yeah. He goes, you were kind of a rookie in the room, weren't you? I said, absolutely. And Holy Ghost had to check me because you don't want to be stupid in front of your Father. He loves you, but nobody wants to be stupid anywhere. Amen. There's protocols, even in that place. I had to wait and figure out what I was there for. I knew that was the kingdom where the kingdom was released. I knew the life was there. He spoke to me. He goes, what you're here for first is you need to be loved. And he goes, all my people need great love right now. They need to be made whole before they operate in power. That's why they fall under the power, because they access the power before they're made whole. And he goes, seek to be loved. It'll make you whole. And so he said in that room, Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am in you, that they may behold my glory that I have with you, Father, that you've given me, for you loved me from the foundation of the world, and I'm bringing them to you so you can love them. Love your sons and daughters the way you loved Adam, the way you walked with him in the cool of the day in the garden. I'm going to bring them back into that place. I'm bringing them back to you, Father, and I'll present them faultless because they'll come through me. And I'll present them faultless. I'll present them holy and without blame. I'll forever perfect them with my blood. When I present them to you, Father, they'll be in me, and you always accept me. And when I present them, you'll love them through me, and they'll love you through me. He will always be your mediator. You will love the Father through Christ, and he'll love through him. Isn't that all? That's the glory. To be in the oneness he has with the Father. Will it manifest in a glory cloud? I'm quite certain of it. It will manifest in love. I definitely know it already has, and going to love us more. It will, and it's where you get the love. It's what you want. You're going to come out full and wanting more. And once you learn your access, you kick the devil aside. It says, don't even think about it today. Nothing's deterring me. Look at verse 26. I've declared unto them thy name, Father. I'll declare it. That the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. That's the glory. to be one with the Father, to be loved of the Father, to live in His glory, to have no separation. In that place, there is no separation. Separation's here. You're always going to feel separate here. This is not where you're going to get it. You're going to go there. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we all, with open face, beholding Him as in a mirror, are changed into the same image. The image of glory, the image of love, the image of His greatness. Change in the same from glory to glory. You will never experience glory to glory here unless a revival is pouring out. Glory to glory is in that room He prepared for you. Glory to glory is with the Father. I had the hardest time getting in there today. After I had all these encounters, I just had this most difficult time. I said, what is wrong? He said, I don't want you criticizing people no more. I said, I don't. Don't ever tell God you don't do something. He'll remind you in a split second. He goes, I don't expect you to be perfect, but you need my love to change this part of you. So if you get checked, ask Him. If your entrance gets blocked and you've been really entering in, ask Him, what did I do? Have I grieved you? Am I not with the program here? Ask Him to help you. Don't fight with Him. Don't get upset. Don't get condemned. Just ask Him, what did I do? He wants you to be there, but He's going to change you. Now, you don't go changing yourself. That love's going to change you, but He wants you to know certain things about you. He's not going to leave you the way you are. Amen?